Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will it open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you'll see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome Denise Monge. After a decade working at some of the most prestigious advertising agencies in New York City, Denise left the glitz and glamour of Madison Avenue to pursue a true sense of fulfillment and soul's purpose, which she found working with dogs. Upon certification through traditional dog obedience training program, she realized there had to be more that could be done to honor the connection between pups and their humans. Looking for ways to foster those deeper connections, Denise studied with some of the top animal communicators and intuitives in the field. She eventually developed her own unique brand of mindful dog training to help pet parents forge a loving relationship with their pups through the lens of mind, body, and energetic connection. Denise's proprietary process, translating beyond behavior, provides a roadmap to how your pet's behaviors can give you specific insight into the healing that is ready to take place, including limiting beliefs to process and which chakras they affect. Denise's integrative approach helps foster true partnerships and heart-centered connections that deepen the compassion and understanding of the lessons your animal companions are here to share with you. Using methods such as meditation, energy work, animal communication, and pet numerology in conjunction with the fundamentals of traditional obedience training. Think of it as self-help for pet's sake. Denise received her BS from Boston University, her dog trainer certification from Animal Behavior College. She is a certified animal communicator and intuitive energy reader through top experts in the field and a member of the Association of Dog Trainers. Now, to find more information on Denise or to get in touch with her, I'm going to give you her website in just a minute. She does like to bill herself as a pet psychic, and she will be doing readings today after we've talked for a while. So I believe we'll probably be able to get to everybody that's on the line at present. Denise's website, if you have your pens and pieces of paper ready, it's very simple. It's on the World Wide Web, and it's petprana.com, all one word. And prana is spelled P-R-A-N-A, petprana.com. And so, without any further ado, let me welcome Denise. Denise, once again, how are you tonight?
David, I'm doing so well, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the beautiful introduction and the warm welcome. And I just
It's an honor to have you, and I've been looking forward to the show, and I'm very interested in hearing your story. What can you tell me about how you got going on your current life's work?
So it's interesting because I did not envision myself being here in my wildest dreams, and I'm just so grateful that somehow the universe put all the right steps in my path to get me where I am today, where I wake up and I absolutely love what I do, and I can contribute to finding that common ground that is so beautiful that you highlight as such a special aspect of the human experience. So that's what we're going to talk about today, finding the human ground, or the common ground, how we can relate to each other, both humans and animals. And so for me, it all started, you know, when I was very young, I was incredibly intuitive and very clairvoyant, and I had an amazing connection with animals. Growing up in São Paulo, Brazil, we were in an apartment building, and my dad didn't particularly care for animals, if you'll believe it. So I was never allowed to have the traditional pets. We never had a dog. We never had a cat. So that really kind of pushed me to find animal companions in completely different shapes and embodiments. So I would bring into my bedroom and put in like a little fish tank, caterpillars, moths. I would get doodle bugs, and they would be my treasured, precious little friends. And I did have a very strong bond with animals. I was engaged in animal communication telepathically, even though I didn't really know what that was. And as I got older, it was interesting because then, you know, I started having that experience that many of us do as children when we're very open with, you know, seeing disembodied humans in my room and you know, spirits coming in. And at that point, I kind of shut it all down. You know, back then, there wasn't anyone to explain this stuff to us. I was the only one in my family who was that open, who was having that experience. So, you know, people like, oh, it's your imagination, but I always felt there was something more to it. So I, you know, shut that down because I was fearful and I didn't understand it. And, of course, you know, led my life, and as you do, you choose a career, and I ended up in advertising, which in retrospect was a perfect job because it's all about observing and finding underlying needs. Trends and motivations and people's unmet needs, even when they can't vocalize it. So advertising really turned me into an expert in being an observer and reading the energy of the room. Because when you're dealing with a client and, the, you know, you have to approach them to let them know you're $300,000 over budget, you don't want to approach them when they're already having, you know, a bad day. So it was very much about learning, observing, and, you know, making sure that you're meeting people where they are. You're not kind of imposing yourself and your energy on them. So once I realized advertising just, you know, after 10 years, it's a young person's game. It's everything you see in the Hollywood movies where you're pulling all-nighters, you're taking clients out to steakhouses, all that stuff. I thought, you know what, I'm done with it. I need to figure out what to do. And that's where my love for the animals came back. And I thought, you know what, maybe I'll open a doggy daycare because in New York City, that's something that people really need. And it would give me the benefit of working with animals. And since I never had a dog growing up, I figured, well, I should get trained and learn the traditional obedience so that I understand pet behavior. So that's kind of where it all started. And then it blossomed from there and helped blow up my intuition. But I'll pause there because I know it's been a long-winded story so far.
Well, you know what's interesting, and it seems to be a common denominator for clairvoyants and other spiritually gifted people, is that there's no one that you can talk to when you're a youngster and experiencing psychic phenomenon. And I've had a number of people say that they've had to shut that down. And I'm interested in hearing more about your training, but right now I'm wondering how you reawoke and developed a different attitude towards your psychic potentials.
And that's where I'm so grateful to the animals, because what happened is I learned the traditional aspects of, you know, that will be in training. And then I started as part of my practicum hours working one-on-one with, you know, humans and their animal companions. And, you know, we were doing all the traditional, the sit, the stay, you know, the on-leash etiquette, all that stuff. The behavior was shifting, even though traditionally we were doing everything in dog training, you know, in the book. So that's where energy came back in. I started opening up more intuitively. I would just, I'm very clairnostic, so I would just, like, know things about the situation, or I would pick up on, you know, some frenetic energy in the house. So I started bringing in and approaching dog training from a more holistic standpoint where I was looking at, you know, making sure we're doing the traditional training, but we're also looking at the energetic themes and broader energies going on with the human and within the household. And even more broadly cosmically, you know, because there's a lot of dogs who are very sensitive to full moon energy, you know, some more than others, but that's definitely a thing. You know, we're in the middle of eclipse season. A lot of dogs have been extremely reactive and anxious or very lethargic as they think about these energies. But it was really through the animal companions that I was able to open back up to my intuitive gifts, because at that point, they were safe. I knew I had a connection with animals. You know, they weren't, it's very different connecting and opening up your intuition when you're opening up to an animal versus thinking, okay, if I open up my intuition, I have to talk to ghosts or spirits or, you know, whatever you want to call them. So the animals kind of made it a safe way for me to open back up to my clairvoyant, psychic, and telepathic abilities.
Now, do you communicate with deceased animals, deceased pets?
I do. And so the beautiful thing is, you know, there's many different animal communicators and pet psychics out there. And everybody gets information differently. There's some animal communicators who get a lot of information that relates directly to the pet. Like, I like this treat. I don't like, you know, playing that game. I really want to sleep in this bed. Then there's other animal communicators who are more like medical intuitives, right? They can pick up, you know, if the dog is limping a little bit.
Yes.
They can say, oh,
yes, and I've had
them
on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so fantastic because they can even tell you, like, the dosage, you know, like, they are very attuned to that. What the animals have always brought me are energetic patterns that are affecting their humans, because if the human's going through something, if they shift the energy and create a new, more sourcing pattern, that energy affects the animal, you know, because they're in a very symbiotic relationship. So the animals for me have always brought up, you know, broader patterns with the humans. And so in that case, when people come to me for reading, we can definitely check in with pets that are embodied, pets that have transitioned. And then in those safe containers, they've even brought through deceased loved ones and relatives. But for me, I'm okay for it in that context.
Because
it's, you know, through the pet. You know, if somebody said, can you connect to my, you know, dead grandmother, right off the bat, I still have a little bit of that, ooh, I don't know about this. And I have a great Halloween story about that if you ever want to do a show about humans coming through.
Okay. That sounds good. We can do that another time. Tell me some more about your training. And just to let the latest callers know, we will be taking calls in about 5 minutes or so. And Denise is going to do some readings on your pets. So please be patient and hang in there, and we'll try to get to as many of you as we can. So
yeah,
please tell us about training.
Absolutely. So, you know, the very unique approach that I take in dog training has been something that I've created over the years. And so going into dog training, I was already certified in Reiki. You know, in high school, I went through the course Reiki 1, Reiki 2. So I'm very familiar with the chakras and the universal themes that they carry. And so as I was working through traditional dog training, doing the sit, touch, stay, all that stuff, I thought, you know what, there has to be more. And I really want to honor that bond. But I'm also realizing that, you know, if there's something under the energetic hood that isn't being addressed, then all the traditional training in the world is not going to work, right? So we really need to get away from that notion of separation, that place of judgment that our pet behaviors are either quote-unquote naughty or nice. We really
right.
want to look at everything from a holistic perspective. So what I did is I started realizing that there were lots of different trends. So every time I was called in for, like, on-leash reactivity, for example, I realized that the pet parent was feeling ungrounded. You know, whether it were they were between jobs or maybe they, you know, weren't secure in their relationship with their partners or, you know, with their family members or at work, it seemed to be like a frequent trend, a little frenetic, uncertain energy. and the dog would pick up on it, and it would manifest itself as office reactivity. And then I started realizing that, you know, with every time I was called in for guest reactivity, where the dogs are kind of barking at guests coming in or, you know, people entering the home, I started realizing that it typically was with women who had just been through a breakup, you know, or maybe they were cheated on, or maybe they hadn't had a good experience with the opposite sex. So there was a little bit of that guarding of their hearts that the animal companion was reflecting back. Or if I was getting called in, for, you know, barking, excessive barking, attention barking, it typically had something to do with the energies of the third chakra, which is all about, you know, doing and personal responsibility and, you know, your creative output. And so what I did is I mapped the most popular pet behaviors against different chakras. And my reason for doing that is it creates a jumping off point energetically when I'm called in for different pet behavior. So anytime I get called in for accidents or, you know, lots of accidents throughout the house, you know, peeing on the rug inappropriately, I already immediately go to the sixth chakra. I say, okay, what's going on? Because that usually has to do with being, you know, pissed off, you know, illusion versus reality, what you thought your life was going to be like versus what it is. So it creates a jumping off point where we can already look at some energetic themes that might be going on and then dig deeper. Because odds are, if your animal companion is reflecting that energy back to you, it's probably playing out more broadly in other areas of your life, at work, in your relationship with your, you know, significant other or with your parents or your children or your siblings. So they're really just bringing it up for us to look at limiting beliefs that no longer serve us so we can up-level together, right, which is all about what you talked about in the beginning of your call. It's all about that relating to each other, understanding where we're coming from, changing the story so that we can all up-level and move on to new, bigger, broader lessons.
Well, that's amazing. You know, I was thinking as you talked, it doesn't seem like things have changed very much in the household since our last pet, No Shame, passed on. And we got a couple of dogs after him, and their behavior is very unruly compared to what his behavior had been like. Even having been through dog training, so
yeah, and so that's actually really interesting.
I'm mystified based on what you were saying. I'm mystified because we had one pet who was, he didn't bark, he obeyed every command, he didn't have any accidents in the house, and now I have a dog that has some accidents. And the other one is overly protective and is a barker.
And so that's really interesting, right? Because I get a lot of pet parents who have multiple pets in the household. And so each, you know, animal companions are part of our soul family. Just like us, they're here to learn and contribute to different lessons. I always like to say our animal companions are up-leveling just like we are. And so we've come together at this specific time because we're here to share certain lessons and teach each other certain lessons. So I like to use the simile that, or the metaphor, it's like, you know, we all read the book for school and we're all in the same class. And instead of, you know, each of us writing our own book report, we're going to do a group project. So if we're going to truly understand what each animal companion is here to contribute and help us with and what their tendencies and motivations and maybe their karmic lessons may be, that's why I love to bring in pet numerology. So, you know, the same way that you would pull numerology behind a human's name, you can pull the numerology behind a pet's name, and then you look at the intersection of your numbers and the pet's numbers, and you can get so much information and insight about, you know, why they behave the way they do.
Well, maybe that's something I'll have to look into. And I don't want to usurp the caller's time with you. Can you just sum up what the energies are like for you behind the work that you do?
So this work has come through to me in collaboration with the animals, always coming from a place of compassion and non-judgment. I think that's really important because when we're doing traditional dog training, that alone, you're dealing with somebody's baby, someone's family member. You know, they happen to have fur, but it's no different than if they were, you know, your blood. We have this amazing bond with them. So in my work, you know, so even with traditional training, we want to be compassionate with each other. But when we're dealing with these energies and these bigger patterns and things that might make us very vulnerable, it's even more important that you come from a heart-centered space. So it's beautiful because the energy, that unconditional love of the animals has really brought this work to life, so it manifests itself in it. And if anybody on the call is a starseed, this carries a lot of Pleiadian energy. The Pleiadians are very tied to emotions and animals. So it's this beautiful, you know, there's cosmic influences, there's the animal kingdom, and of course, a lot of the beautiful modalities like Reiki and EFT and animal communication all brought in together to help us look at our experience and relationship with our animal companions in a holistic, beautiful, compassionate way.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, it sounds like you have a lot of tools that you employ, and I'm very excited to hear what you have to say to some of the callers. Callers, I'm going to ask you to keep your questions just to one question and one follow-up question, and I will interject if I feel like somebody's going on too long, because we want to try to get to as many people as we can. And if you're ready, Denise, we can go to the phone line.
Well, great. I just want to say one thing. You know, because I do have a background in traditional training, you guys can definitely ask traditional training questions, and the energetic piece will come out as well. So don't feel like you have to pick versus asking me, you know, training-specific question or an energetic question. Like, it's all combined. So just listen to your heart and ask the questions, and what's meant to come through will come through.
Sounds great. All right. Well, Laura is the first caller. Laura, you are live.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, I was just wondering what you pick up around me as far as my animals and how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of pets do you have?
I have dogs and cats.
Okay, dogs and cats. And do any in particular pop up to you?
Do any particular what?
Like, as you asked the question, did you have any particular dog or cat in mind?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay. Because what's kind of coming up around that, the reason I asked is there's the energy that they're reflecting back of not wanting to be lumped into a group. And so, again, this might be a pattern that you might have experienced as a child where you felt like you weren't recognized individually. You were like one of the kids or one of the class, one of the group. And so that energy piece could really want to come up right now and bubble up because, let me see how they want to say this. It feels like you've been working on a specific project or a gift of yours, and you feel like you're swimming upstream because you haven't given yourself the recognition and giving yourself permission to stand out of the pack and shine. That's a trend that we see with a lot of people these days who are opening up to gifts, trying to kind of maybe do a career shift and step into more of like a spiritual path or some for a new career. Is giving ourselves the benefit of standing up and allowing ourselves to gain in all our power and our glory. It's easier and safer sometimes to be part of the masses and the group. So
okay.
How does that resonate? Any of that pop up for you? Does it bring up any
I'm a very outspoken, out of the crowd type of person. So I don't really blend into the crowd very well at all. Like, I'm the one that stands out.
So maybe it's more of that validation that you're doing a good job at that. Let me kind of check in with them again and see what they want to bring up. And so, again, they keep talking to me about a new path or following your purpose. It seems like there's a path that you're kind of swimming up. You're kind of going down,
yep.
And they really want you to stick with that. This whole notion of they keep showing you, like, a path that
That's
you're
true.
Forging.
That's true.
So let me see what else they want to say about that. And so the other thing that they want to validate and remind you to keep doing is they're saying that you're doing a really great job of going a million miles a minute, but on the surface you seem really, like, cool, calm, and collected, and it feels like the people around you appreciate that energy, the animals included, although they see that, like, almost like a, you know, like a duck swimming, like they seem like they're just gliding, but their little feet are, you know, kicking. So they're there to support you, and they're showing me kind of like pushing you through all that kicking. They want to know you're not alone in that, even though you always try to portray yourself as cool, calm, and collected. They're there supporting the kicking behind the scenes.
All right.
Yeah.
Does that resonate, Laura?
I mean, it does. It does. The first part of it does, where, you know, I'm on a new path, you know, so, and I do look to them. I'm not very calm and collected at all, though. I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm more, like, blunt and to the point. So I try to be more, you know, steady around them. They actually calm me.
That's great. And so, you know, again, this is like with the energy, sometimes it's a little bit of finding the different puzzle pieces, and we build the final picture together. So it might be that in the beginning where they were saying, make sure you stand up, they were validating that you stand out of the crowd. And with the swan part, the duck part, they were saying, maybe be a little more cool, calm, collected on the outside.
Well, I will tell you, my one Shih Tzu, his name, he's a little white thing, and we call him Chicken because he loves chicken when he was little, so he thinks his name is Chicken, even though it's Coda. And he literally has really separation anxiety from me. So literally, I'll be reading a book, and he will bark at me. Like, he'll be beside me, but he'll bark at me to get on my lap. And he's like, excuse me, I told you already that I'm the center. Like, I can't look at a book. I can't go, you know, turn my back towards him. Right now he's downstairs and he's barking because he knows I'm upstairs and he wants me to let him upstairs.
So
I'm wondering what his deal is.
Yeah. So let me kind of feel into that, because, you know, separation anxiety has to do with issues of the second chakra, which is, you know, a lot about, you know, the myth of separation and the balance of your desires and needs versus other people's desires and needs, the yin and yang, the role of our divine masculine and divine feminine that's kind of reflected back to us in our animal companion. And then there's a lot about that guilt. And it's interesting because, you know, it's the second time it comes up in the energies right now, that guilt of shining too bright because you don't want to make others feel weird about being around you. There's something there. There's a little kernel that wants to be kind of burnt away and kind of let go. Because when you're, you know, sort of with separation anxiety, it's like you want to do all these things, but you're being slowed down. You know, I mean, of course we love them and we don't think of it that way, but in the energetic sense, you know, we're on our path and we're being slowed down to kind of pull back and kind of make others feel okay. So there's something about that energy, and maybe you felt that around friendships or people that you've partnered with in work, but that feels like there's a little bit of unresolved energy there that we need to look at.
Okay.
And it's kind of around that limiting belief of I feel guilty if I'm living a fulfilling life and others around me are not. So that might not be exactly the formulation of the limiting belief, but that's the idea.
Okay.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave that idea with you, Laura. It's time to move on. But thank you for your call, and I trust that you got some interesting information from Denise.
Yes, I did. Thank
you.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura.
Take care, Laura.
Uh-huh.
You too. Okay, the studio is behaving slowly. Donna is our next caller. Donna, there you are.
Thank you, David. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Was this Donna or Dawn?
Donna. Donna.
Donna. Lovely. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I don't have any pets right now because I'm not allowed to have any pets, but I had a bird, a macaw parrot named Puyo that I was just so attached to and loved so much, and she's on the other side. But do you have any messages for me? Because my life is kind of like at a standstill, and I don't know where I'm going or anything.
Absolutely. And so, you know, let me just start off by saying that a lot of us are feeling in that quote-unquote stuck energy. The reason for it being, you know, we're in Mercury retrograde, which in of itself is a time not to take action. It feels very much like we're stuck. It's a time to kind of go within and kind of recalibrate your own energies. And not only are we in Mercury retrograde, but we are also coming off on the third eclipse, which is tonight. So apparently we're going to be getting a lot of new energies with this eclipse. And so it's almost like what they show me is like when you put the movie on pause and then it resumes and it's like back to normal. So you're not alone in feeling that. Now, could you remind me of your pet's name? You broke up.
Well, yes, it was a macaw parrot that I got in Ecuador and in a little town called Puyo in the jungles, and I brought her back to the United States.
Oh, and her name's Julio, even though it's a boy's name, it's a girl.
No, it's Puyo, P-U-Y-O.
Oh, Puyo. So cute. So the beauty about Puyo is I'm pulling the numerology here because the name felt really significant. And so within her name, there's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful resonance of the number 7. And number 7 in numerology is all about that philosopher king. It's searching for those universal truths. It's kind of like the guru of the numbers. And she also has a lot of 3 vibration making up her name, which is about magic and our gifts and opening up to our gifts. And her name also contains the 6, which is very much about that nurturer, that loving energy. So I can see why you felt so drawn to her and why she was. And it's beautiful because she's part of your family. She came to you as a bird because she wanted to really embody that majestic energy, that sense of wonder and kind of being able to capture the air onto Earth, you know, because birds they fly, but they also kind of can ground on Earth. So she was a beautiful catalyst to bring you spiritual lessons and ahas and all that understanding and open up your intuition, but in a very practical, grounded way. Let me feel into it a little more, but I just wanted to give you that background first.
Thank you.
I'm going to have you take a deep breath. Okay, so what she's saying is she is your guardian. So she is actually, she sits with you energetically, and she scares away anything that she thinks you're not ready for. So I don't know if you've begun seeing things or experiencing energies or feeling energies, but she's kind of the gatekeeper, making sure that if you're uncomfortable, she's showing me, like, her flapping her wings away, like, getting them out of there.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
so good.
I want to see what else she wants to do, she wants to tell us here. And it's interesting because she's bringing up a lot of blue energy. So even if her feathers weren't blue or she wasn't blue, she's really – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, they were blue, yeah.
Blue. Okay, so she's showing me the blue. And so the beauty of the blue also is she wants you to step into your true voice and your authentic kind of leadership style, because she wants you to speak up more and not be so afraid about if people are going to judge you or if it doesn't come out perfectly. Because what she's reminding you is that the energy behind our intent, if our intent is pure, the energy comes through regardless of what the words are. So I know I experience this a lot. I feel like I ramble a lot, but I stopped judging myself on that because I know that the energy will land where it needs to land. And so she wants to remind you of that. She says, speak your voice, sing your voice, put your voice out there, because the vibration of your voice is going to bring to people what they need.
Okay, I'll remember that. Thank you very much, Denise. I appreciate this. Thank you.
You bet. All right, big hugs to you. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Donna. God bless.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is Vince, and I'll be bringing him live in just a minute. Okay, there you are, Vince.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Vince. So nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of questions. First, I wanted to find out, I have a cat, Patches is her name, and I wanted to find out if she has any messages for us. For my wife and I, and also too, recently we took her to the vet, and I don't know if they did something to her they weren't supposed to, because it was for a checkup and for grooming, because she came home and she was not happy and she was whining and crying for a couple of days, and so I'm wondering if they mistreated her there and if they overcharged us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my two questions.
All right. So let me kind of feel into this. I'm going to have you take a deep breath. And so it's really interesting because, so cats, just to start off with, they bring a completely different level to the communication game. I mean, they just bring this wisdom and this knowing and this beautiful energy. And what Patches is reflecting back to you with the vet is almost a sense of, like, this frustration that she has to be in a body, right? It's like she knows that she's so much more, there's so much more out there. It's like this frustration that she has to be in this cat experience, and it kind of mirrors back almost like a frustration of being in a human experience when you know that there's so much more out there. And not only being in this human experience, but being in a body that fails us, right? Because the body breaks down after a certain amount of time. So she's just kind of mirroring back, kind of being grumpy about that aspect. Because it feels like for a lot of us, like we're really at the cusp of really having huge breakthroughs and opening up to the energies in amazing ways. And it's sparking these remembrances of how much more there is out there for us. So she's reflecting back energy of feeling like she has to be contained or she's not as free as she wants to be. So let me feel in technically to see if anything happened at the vet. You know, it doesn't feel like it's anything out of the ordinary. I mean, it feels like there's some poking and prodding, but nothing out of the ordinary. She just was really grumpy about it, to be honest. It doesn't feel like there was any foul play or overcharging that was malicious. It feels like just kind of par for the course, like it's more of the energy going on.
Okay.
Let me look into kind of more broader message that Patches wants to bring, because there's something kind of in the corner of my mind here that wants to come on too. I'm going to just take a deep breath. I'm going to have to take a deep breath. And so it's about, it's a really interesting message that she's bringing through. It's about now is the time for kind of like harvesting, like just like her name would imply, like patching together all the different wisdom and learning that you and your wife have accrued in this lifetime and really start. It's like taking stock and survey of what you've learned so that going forward, you can apply all the positive aspects of each of those kernels of learning into the next chapter. So it feels like almost like really like taking inventory and just creating your own new ways of doing things that work for you guys. Even it's personalization, going back to that personalization of what's been working, what you've learned. Take a deep breath. You know, don't always be in the go, 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 go. It's like sit back, look, take stock, and then bring what works going forward.
See, I work nights and I work at a distance. So whenever I call my wife, when I get my break, she always, Kathy always puts the phone to close by the patches and puts me on the speaker so I can say hi to her. So I'm just wondering if she understands that and she loves hearing me.
She does.
Sweet.
And she also sends you energy back. Patches, it feels like a little powerhouse. Like she just, you know, she says it like it is. She's got tons of energy to give, tons to help. Seems like a very beautiful, mutually beneficial relationship between the, you know, Patches and her humans.
Yeah.
That is just the sweetest, most beautiful thing. She gives you strength. Like she has a lot of strong energy, a lot of strength that she shares with you guys. So she, you know, she's not for the faint of heart. It's sort of like you don't have to worry about her. She's a tough broad. She'll get by, and she really wants to help you guys now grab what works and bring it into the next phase of your life.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for calling and sharing Patches with us. She's very cool.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Okay, good
All
night
right.
now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Our next caller is Louise, and I'll bring you live as soon as we've disconnected from Vince. Okay. Sorry, Anna. You're next. Okay, Louise, you're live.
Hi. Hi, Denise and David. I have a cat named Samuel, and he's on antibiotics right now for respiratory, and I was wondering, is there anything that you could tell me or I need to know?
Yeah, so let me feel in. And do you call him Samuel, or does he have any nickname that you use?
I call him Samuel or Sammy.
Okay, perfect. So let me just feel into his energy. And I'm just feeling it because there seems to be a couple things kind of lighting up right now. And it's interesting because sometimes when we do animal communication, some animals are a bit more reserved. They need to kind of give you the old, you know, once-over before they completely open up. And so Samuel's energy, I feel very much in that he's checking me out. He's going to see, like, all right, this lady, you know, she wants to help. She has good intentions. So Sammy seems to be very tied. I'm seeing like a lot of green energy with Sammy. So he does seem to be very tied with Mother Earth and also the heart. So let me kind of feel in more into this, where he wants to go with this. And it has a lot to do. There's a lot of like maternal energy that he's bringing up. Let me feel into this. Sorry, sometimes they bring very subtle little energies that you have to kind of piece together. So he's bringing up, and the words aren't going to be exactly right. I'm going to have to kind of work through this one with you, but it's sort of like he's showing like a little bit of a constriction. Almost like growing up, there was, for the humans who might be reflecting the fact there's a little bit of like a walking on eggshells kind of going on, or feeling like constricted, like you couldn't fully be yourself. And through that experience, that's how you help other people feel, because you understand what that constriction feels like. You work through it. You are going to be able to help other people work through that constriction. He keeps showing me almost like a snake wrapped around the lung area.
His lungs, yeah, because you see his eyes tearing also.
One eye is tearing and he's sneezing. Yeah, and so that's, it's almost like crying for the inner child that felt constricted. It's very sweet, very subtle energy. It's not like he's bringing, like there doesn't seem to be any disappointment around this, you know, emotional energetic constriction that happened. It's almost like this acceptance, but being able to free yourself of that and move past it is going to help other people move through in a very gentle way. He's saying that there's a lot of need for people out there who are working through their emotional needs to have someone work through them in a gentle way. A lot of people out there who help people work through limiting beliefs are kind of, all right, let's make this happen. Let's make a change in 3 sessions. Let's do this. But they're not really kind of sitting with the people's emotional baggage and, like, commiserating with them or acknowledging it so that then it can be released in a gentle way. He keeps bringing up gentle, that you have a very gentle feeling touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had him since he was a kitten. I'm just having a hard time kind of, I've got a bad connection, so I'm going to have to listen back on this.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. And there's something there because this is the fourth Samson variation that in the past 2 days that has come up. So I'll have to post something about the numerology behind Sammy. It seems incredibly timely.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's going to clear up soon? Because it seems to be lingering on.
Mm. So let me feel into it. It does. I mean, I'm getting, you know, as soon as you ask, I'm getting kind of that big, deep breath. I think what happened, again, I think after tonight's eclipse, a lot of energies are going to shift and let go and ease up. And I think also when you listen to this replay, there might be some things that are triggered in you that you can release that are going to create that shift.
Okay.
So
and I've done that too. Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful. And sometimes it's just a matter of going a little bit deeper. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's like that final aha. And then you're like, oh, that was that last part. And you can just kind of release it. So
mm-hmm.
The call is super timely. And you are such a sweet, gentle energy and soul. And I see that reflected in Sammy as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Like I said, I'll have to listen back.
You bet. Well, thank you so much.
You bet, Louise.
I appreciate you calling.
And thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. Good night. All right, Anna, now I'm coming to you. There you are.
All right. Thank you. Right. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding my dog. And I was wondering if he wants to come to work with me and if he knows that he's coming to work with me and anything else that you see.
You bet. And what's your pup's name?
Bodie.
Bodie. Cute. Okay, so let me check in with Bodie. I'm going to have you take a deep breath. Okay. And so he does say he does want to come to work with you. He has an energy of a builder. Like, he enjoys looking at things and creating new structures or new processes. Like, he would be an awesome employee if he were human. So he absolutely loves the idea of coming to work, being productive, accompanying you on jobs, feeling productive. He's very much a checklist kind of energy about him that he wants to, you know, get a task, master it, and move on to the next. So I think going to work will be fantastic with him. I'm going to just listen in to see what else he wants to say about that. So again, it's so interesting. Does he have any, he's bringing up, guarding issues. Does he guard you or guard food? Or I don't know if it's a watch out if he's at work. How old is he?
He's over five.
Over five. Okay. So it's interesting.
So what is he to guard?
He's bringing up guarding issues, which sometimes in dog training we talk about resource guarding, where maybe like a dog's really protective of their bone or their pet parents or something. But he's bringing up a pattern of being protective, of feeling like you have to be the protector. So it doesn't feel like it's from him necessarily. He might be bringing this up for you, like a broader energetic pattern in your life where maybe you feel responsible for a lot of people in your life. But he wants to just bring that up, and I'll ask him more about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's reminding me to always choose what's best for you, because it feels like the energy coming up has been that you might have been in some situations where you choose on behalf of other people, like what you think would be best for them. So he's reminding you to really choose what's best for you right now. Like, you need to protect yourself. I think that's where that guarding comes in. Protect yourself, protect your best interests, because he needs you to be at your best.
Okay. And do you know a time frame of when he will be coming to work with me? Because there's some delays. And
So let me see. Time frame for animals sometimes is a complicated thing for them to bring forth.
Yeah.
He's saying four, and I'm asking him if it's four moons, if it's four seasons, because sometimes for animals it's easier for them to speak in terms of nature, not like the calendar week.
Yeah.
So he's bringing up four. I'm going to ask him, Mr. Brodster. So I keep seeing things flipping, like in the calendars, but it feels like it's not decided yet. There's a few different ways that it could go. He's not sure on specific timing, but he would love to join you. He loves the idea of being part of, like, something productive. And so in the meantime, what you can do is give him jobs to do. So really ramp up that dog obedience training, have him earn his toys, his food, get him mental stimulation with even, like, simple games, like putting his food in muffin tins with tennis balls over him, and he has to kind of, you know, find his food in there. He really has to feel productive.
Okay.
And then he's really reminding you about self-care, and keeping those boundaries around protect your needs, your desires, you know, what you need in each moment. You should be your first concern. You know, don't put others first.
Yes, I see. And otherwise, is he happy with me still?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, it feels like a great partnership. Let me see what he wants to say. Yeah, I mean, you guys feel incredibly connected, and it's interesting because his energy feels more human than dog, if that makes any sense. He's very much like a partner with you.
Nice.
Yeah. He's very much like a what?
Like a partner with you. Like he's your equal. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we get the energy of dogs, and it's like they're definitely the human, the baby dynamic. And with him, it seems really like a partner. So that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing Bodhi with us.
Yeah,
and we're going to need to move on, Anna. I want to get to the one more caller. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love to connect. Lovely to connect.
Thank you. We agree.
Okay, Anna. Have a good night. All right. Lucky last caller of the evening is area code 203. I haven't talked to you. What's your first name, please?
Hi, my name's Pat, first-time caller.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. I rescued a dog that was going to be put down about 8 years ago. He was tormented just about every day of the first 2 years of his life. He's got a huge heart. I've rescued coonhounds for about 20 years now. I just love him dearly. I'm wondering if he has anything to say. And can you please tell me he's going to live a lot longer? He's approaching, I think, 9 this year. I don't even want to think about it. His name is Chance.
And what, Chance?
Chance, for second chance.
Oh, that's really, really sweet. Okay, so I'm feeling into Chance. And so it's, first of all, thank you for opening up your heart and home to, you know, a rescue and so many other rescues that you mentioned. Pet parents tend to have such beautiful open hearts, and they attract the animals that need it the most, and Chance is definitely one of those cases. One thing that I see a lot with rescue dogs, and Chance is no different, is that they don't want to talk about the past. You know, a lot of pet parents know the story, want to know about the story, and they really want to leave the past in the past.
Okay.
Because a lot of the rescue dogs, what happened, and I need to quickly pull some numbers against Chance's name to verify that this is, you know, the same with him. A lot of rescue dogs, you know, as we mentioned, they have sole contracts of their own, and they wanted to come to experience the duality of the experience on Earth, right? The good with the bad, the yin with the yang, the, you know, fear with the safety. So, and those little animal companions, they become so beautiful, multidimensional, and so wise. Chance feels extremely happy to be with you, extremely pleased in the home that you've created and the routines that you guys have created. He shows me, like, I don't know if you, like, play, what he's kind of shown me is a game of, like, you know, where's the ball? You know, like, a lot of, like, that kind of fun energy, that playful, funky stuff. He's showing me that he's enjoying that kind of the relationship and that part of the experience where it can be lighthearted is what he's trying to get at. It can be lighthearted. So, again, your medicine is particularly strong with the dogs because here we go. You may or may not realize this, but you are an empath. You are a very strong empath. So what you're able to do is almost like a magnet, pull out the trauma out of the animals, and you can really help transform them in that way. It's really quite fascinating. They're showing me sort of like Magneto from the X-Men series where, you know, he could just pull anything with metal out and then just get rid of it. That's what you do as far as trauma for dogs. So your love for the animals and your compassion for the animals, this is really your life's work. Whether or not it's your career, this is what you are here to do. And so with that, he, along with a whole pack of dogs, are kind of bowing down in reverence to you as a thank you. He says that you carry a lot of ancient kind of Celtic magic, which is interesting. A lot of connection in nature, a lot of like kind of like Druid, Celtic. You might want to look at sacred geometry if you haven't yet. It feels like that may have some information from the lore there. What else, Chance? So he's saying that you carry all the dogs' energies with you, all the dogs you've had in the past and all the dogs that will come to you in the future. You carry all their energy within you, so that's how they can find you. It's almost like a beacon that they come and they resonate, they come back to you. So what he's saying is, don't worry about my departure date because energetically I will always be right with you within you. And a lot of things that pets do as they're here embodied with us is they help us really understand their body language and pay really close attention to them as a way to learn the resonance of their energy and the vibration of their energy so that when they're no longer embodied, we can still remember it, right? So that's where a lot of times if an animal transitions, they walk, you know, we're like, oh, my gosh, I swear I heard the jingle of that collar. It's them. It's their vibration. It's their energy. So when they're embodied, they help us kind of calibrate to that so that we can pick it up on the other side.
Okay.
And if you have not yet taken a course in animal communication, I would strongly recommend that you do so because there's a very clear, open line to the animals and to nature more broadly, like trees, rocks, like all that's coming up as like almost your power sources.
Okay. Could you direct me?
My favorite teacher who changed my life, her name is Ana Maria Vasquez. And you can find her in intentiontraining.com. She offers, and I think in October she's kicking off an animal communication course. She is fantastic, and she has a lot of free calls and resources. And she also is a huge nature energy, so I think you would really resonate with her.
Can you spell her last name?
Yep, Vasquez is V as in Van, A, S as in Sam, Q as in Queen, U as in Umbrella, E,
got it.
And then Z as in Zoo, I think. Yeah.
Okay. One more quick question. Thank you. This is wonderful. One more quick question. I do animal portraits, mainly dogs.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yay.
Do you see me becoming successful? I'm trying to finally to get to it at 64.
So here's, it's so beautiful. So 64 numerology, that's a one. That's the new beginning. But what's going to be even more interesting is as you open up more to the animal intuitive abilities, you're going to be doing spiritual portraits. So you will do the traditional portrait of the dogs, but then you will be able to pick up on their auras. And then you'll add those colors in. So it's like almost an energetic portrait.
Okay.
So that's kind of that's kind of the next level. But yeah,
okay.
That feels super resonant.
Thank you very, very, very much. Is he healthy?
So let me look into him. So he's not lighting up anything. Again, you know, vets are a fantastic resource. I'm not very strong with the medical intuitive. He's not signaling anything. He seems happy and healthy. The only thing that's lighting up a little bit for me is the root chakra, the first chakra. So that sometimes manifests itself in a little bit of issues with the spine or joints and the legs.
Yes.
But that's the only thing lighting up, and that's not uncommon with rescue dogs, that the first chakra lights up.
Okay, I'll say quickly.
And Pat, we're going to need to close, dear. I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for tuning into the show tonight. We're on every Friday night and occasionally on Thursday.
Thank you both.
Good
God
night
bless.
And God bless. Okay, thank you. Well, Denise, the hour went so quickly, and thank you for running a little bit over with us. That last caller was wonderful, and you gave her a lot of information, which I'm sure she appreciated.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me and being open, and these readings are fun because together we piece the different elements and we get to those broader energies. So I'm one partner in that. Our animal companions are another partner in that, and they're really here to help us piece those energetic lessons together and open up to our own intuition and connection to the universe. So thank you for allowing me to share this.
Yeah.
And thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like to be on again sometime in the future?
Oh, it would be my pleasure. This has been so much fun. I could do this for another 5 hours if you let me.
Well, we got to most of the callers, so that was wonderful. And what I will do, if it's all right, is give you a call back just after I close and we can set another date.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, hon. So once again, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience or pet experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.